We are back again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and it's good to have you as a student along with us. And I want to remind you at the beginning of this class that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in the Bible school today, we're going to talk about this account in Acts chapter 12, where Peter was delivered from prison. Now, the devotional reading for this old Sunday school lesson, and by the way, this Sunday school lesson was prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of June the 12th, 1927. And the devotional reading for this lesson, that is actually found in Acts chapter 12, is in the 21st Psalm. It is the 21st Psalm. Let me read that to you at this time. For the chief musician, a psalm of David. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Jehovah, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips. Selah. For thou meetest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of fine gold on his head. He asked life of thee. Thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty dost thou lay upon him, for thou makest him most blessed forever. Then makest him glad with joy in thy presence, for the king trusteth in Jehovah. And through the loving kindness of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Thy hand will find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand will find out those that hate thee. Thou wilt make them as the fiery furnace in the time of thine anger. Jehovah will swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit wilt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They conceived a device which they are not able to perform. For thou wilt make them turn their back. Thou wilt make ready with thy bowstrings against their face. Be thou exalted, O Jehovah, in thy strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. Now, since this is coming from Acts chapter 12, I want to read the first four verses before we turn to Elam's notes. Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king put forth his hand to afflict certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. And those were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had taken him, he put him in prison, and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him forth to the people. Now, looking at Elam's notes, we have these words under helps and hints for the teachers. It's a note about the Herods. King Herod was King Herod Agrippa I, son of Aristobulus and grandson of Herod the Great. Six Herods are mentioned in the New Testament. Herod the Great, who slew the innocents. Herod Antipas, tetrarch of Galilee, who beheaded John the Baptist. Herod Philip the First, whose wife Herod Antipas took. Herod Philip the Second, tetrarch of Trachonitis. And the last three, the sons of Herod the Great by different wives. Herod Agrippa the First of our lesson. Herod Agrippa the Second, son of Herod Agrippa the First. The Herod of this lesson was a nephew of the one who beheaded John the Baptist. He was brought up in Rome, where he wasted an immense fortune. It has been said that his annual income was $2 million, and yet he died in debt. He was made king over a small part of the former kingdom of Herod the Great by Cassius Caesar Caligula, and his kingdom was enlarged by Claudius Caesar to include all the former kingdoms of his grandfather. To curry favor with the Jews, he not only observed the traditions of the Pharisees and offered sacrifices, but also persecuted the church. His intention was to destroy the leaders. So James was beheaded. Herod beheaded James, or had him beheaded. He was the brother of John, the son of Zebedee. It may have been because James was bold and aggressive in defending the faith that he was the first to be beheaded by Herod. James was the first martyr among the apostles. This was doubtless a source of great grief to the church. He was slain only 10 or 12 years after the crucifixion of Jesus, and therefore soon drank of that cup and endured that baptism of suffering foretold by Jesus. There was another James among the apostles, James the son of Alphaeus, who some think was the brother or kinsman of the Lord. If not, then the Lord's brother was another James still. He is the James that wrote the book of James. Now Peter was imprisoned, and Herod's motive is seen in persecuting Christians by the imprisonment of Peter. Encouraged by the Jews, he also sees Peter, the chiefest of the apostles. And those were the days of unleavened bread, so called because during the Passover week no leaven was to be eaten or even found in the houses. When he had succeeded in taking Peter, he put him in prison in order to confine him securely until after the Passover. It would not be pleasing to the Jews to kill him during the Passover week. Peter had once escaped from prison with the other apostles, Acts 5 and verse 19, and the point now must have been so securely imprisoned and guarded him so as to prevent any possible chance of escape this time. A quaternion of soldiers is a company of four, and there were four such companies corresponding to the four watches of the night. These were to guard Peter. He was placed in the prison between the two soldiers and bound with two chains to them, one arm bound to one soldier, the other arm to the other soldier. Then guards before the door kept the prison. These guards were placed apart, it seemed, making the first and second guard. Besides the prison door and these guards, there was the iron gate, an outer gate leading into the city, locked and barred. There was no possible way of escape. The American Standard Version, that is used in preparing these lessons, very correctly says this was the Passover instead of Easter, as was improperly recorded in the King James Version. Now, it was the Easter season, and even in the King James Version, it's not telling us to celebrate Easter. Some people talk about today modern translations of a dynamic equivalent, in which you don't exactly translate the word, but you try to communicate the word into the thought of the reader, rather than expecting the reader to gather the thought of the writer. And so this might be an early instance of a dynamic equivalent translation, translating the word that should be translated Passover by Easter, because it's the Easter season. But it should have been kept as Passover, and latter translations have retained Passover there correctly instead of Easter. The context of the King James Version shows the feast was the Passover. Easter was not a Jewish feast, certainly not. Any authentic church history which treats the subject or any Bible dictionary gives the origin of Easter. There's no such thing in the New Testament as Easter or Easter Sunday or Easter service. One Sunday as much as another is a remembrance of the resurrection of Jesus. Those who do not meet on the first day of the week to break bread which God has appointed need not put themselves to any trouble to keep Easter, a day he has not appointed. Let's look at the explanatory notes. I want to read Acts chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. Peter therefore was kept in the prison, but prayer was made earnestly of the church unto God for him. And when Herod was about to bring him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the guards before the door kept the prison. Peter must remain in prison until after the Passover. During this time, prayer was made earnestly of the church and to God for him. It seems that they kept up a continual prayer during his imprisonment, for many were gathered together and were praying in the house of Mary when he was released, verse 12. Others may have met at other places and at home during the day in secret. They doubtless prayed for him. They prayed for his deliverance. And of course, following the example of Jesus in the garden, they would have prayed not their will, but God's be done. Why God should suffer James to be beheaded and release Peter is a question we cannot decide. He does all things well for his own glory and for the good of all who serve him. The execution of Peter to the early disciples was a foregone conclusion. The Jews wanted him killed, and Herod was ready to gratify them. Peter, as we have seen, was well guarded and securely locked and barred in. But the locks, bars, chains, guards, and gates were no hindrance to the Lord Almighty. And so Peter's prayer was answered. I want to read to you verses 7 through 12 of Acts chapter 12. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shined in the cell. And he smote Peter on the side and awoke him, saying, Rise up quickly. And his chains fell from off his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind thy sandals. And he did so. And he saith unto them, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed, and he knew not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And they were past the first and second guard. They came to the iron gate that leadeth to the city, which openeth to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and straightway the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a truth, that the Lord hath sent forth his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the Jews of the people. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. We read that the angel came to rescue Peter. The light shone in his prison that he might see, and the angel smote him to awake him, striking the chains from him and raising him up, saying, Rise up quickly. The soldiers did not awake. While God did all this, Peter must do what he could. He must arise quickly, gird himself, put on his sandals and outer garment, and follow the angel. He had laid off his outer garment, loosed his girdle, and taken off his sandals that he might be comfortable while asleep. Most likely that would be the reason he did so. And Peter did all the angel directed, but could not tell whether it was reality or whether it was a dream. And when the angel led him past the first and second guard through the iron gate into the city from the prison, which opened to them of its own accord, and through one street called Straightway, the angel departed from him, and Peter could now find his way to his own company.